He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Hot, hot, hot.
Why, thank you. You haven't said that about me for a long time.
Yeah, well, keeping that in mind also, and I'll let you have that, I'm speaking about the ambient temperature here in Vernon.
Yes.
Hot, hot, hot.
It certainly is. Well, you know what? It kind of creeped up on us. It was hailing last week, and then poof, all of a sudden it's like 81 degrees, or maybe 29 degrees Celsius, just like overnight. So we have to acclimatize ourselves to it, and it's tough when you're not used to it. I'm not complaining by no means.
No, it's actually quite beautiful. There's nothing like having the sun shining. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Arizona or Utah on a nice sunny day.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, and for everyone who has yet to visit this region of the world, the sunny Okanagan, where the fruits and vegetables grow everywhere, and lots of lakes and fishing and hunting. It's really a nice place. Our little desert, the little desert of Canada.
And it's winemaking country, too, for those of you wine buffs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, lots of that around, no problem. So, dear, what's cooking?
What's cooking is coconut chicken breast with the bone in. Yes. We've been eating a lot of this recipe for Corey's bodybuilding diet. Our cupboards are pretty bare these days, but it's amazing what you can find to eat when you get creative and you're really, really hungry. So I figure that if you can't beat them, you might as well join them. And the chicken breast with the bone in, when it's cooked, it's far tenderer than a regular chicken breast with no bone. And a regular chicken breast can become very dry. Don't overcook it so that it's tender. If you wanted to reheat it, it can become dry, as we all know. And the chicken breast is lean, and it's approximately about 18% fat, would you say, Corey, and about 40% protein?
Yeah, that's why I'm eating it, because this time in my contest preparation, I want to keep my fat that is inherent in flesh. I want to keep it under 20%, and almost all of the domesticated typical sources of animal protein that people eat are 40, 50, 60, 70% fat.
Right, exactly. Like me, you mean. Anyway, with this coconut chicken, it is like super duper simple and fast and easy to make. Like, it's a no-brainer, this one is. Now, you don't use the coconut oil right now, but prior to the last week, you were having the coconut oil in the chicken, right?
That's right, because the idea is to slowly reduce your intake of carbohydrates, force your body to access the fat as an alternative to the carbs that are not present as the glycogen goes down. And then you can still have a little bit of fat in the diet because fat doesn't cause an elevation of insulin, which fouls up the chemistry and fat oxidation process.
Well, there you have it. All I asked is if you were using the coconut oil or not, and that's what I got.
But then as you get closer to the date, you've got to squeeze even deeper and tighter, and that's why you get focused on everything, including the fat itself, which in this case, the chicken fat has a good source of A, D, E, and K.
Right. And it's good stuff. Anyway, this two chicken breasts, you can get them from your butcher, two chicken breasts with the bone in and also with the skin on. Now, what you do is you want to have, say, two chicken breasts, 2 tablespoons of coconut oil, 1 teaspoon of fresh or powdered garlic, Mrs. Dash or Spike salt-free, chili peppers crushed, that's optional if you like a little spicy, and 2 teaspoons of water. So what you do is you get a dish and you just lather on that coconut oil to grease it, and then you place the chicken breasts in the pan and then just add 2 teaspoons of water, and then you can spread a little bit of the coconut oil on top of the chicken breasts. Cover with garlic powder and Mrs. Dash or Spike and the chili fresh peppers. Throw it in the oven uncovered at 325, so that's a bit of a slow cook, for about 45 minutes to an hour, right? And then away you go. It's done.
Yeah, now this morning, for what I have in mind now, I just take the chicken breast, which is bone in and skin on, and before I put that in the glass cookingware, I add in a cup of water.
Right.
I pour a cup of water in. I put the chicken breast, two of them, in the glass cookingware. I turn the oven on to 350. I don't preheat it. I just turn it on to 350. Then I put a little bit of spices and chili peppers on top, add nothing else, mm-hmm. and put that into the oven, and then I put my timer on for an hour so that by the time, and it's at 350, so that by the time it preheats and the cooking time and all of that, I just, the timer goes on and I pull that out and it's done.
And I think the water also helps keep in the moisture too.
Well, it does. And then what I do when I eat it, I take the skin off. I don't eat the skin. And then I actually dunk chunks of the chicken breast in the watery solution that has a little bit of the chicken fat and the vitamins and elements in it that came from the chicken. But there's very, very little fat in there, certainly no carbs. But it keeps the chicken breast really moist and quite delicious, as opposed to taking a boneless chicken breast and cooking that.
Yeah.
And it's so freaking dry, and it's so hard to get down.
I think I'm sold on the bone-in chicken breast, and we've made this recipe so many times, and I've said every time, I could make this for company, right? Something you just slap into the oven comes out so darn good, and the juices, especially with the coconut oil, you could put that over wild rice or over spinach or any type of vegetable. It is just so delicious that I will make it for company one day when you're off your diet.
Yeah, this is a great recipe for bachelors and single people who haven't got a lot of time. You can just throw it in and stick it in the oven and cook it, and you've got a nice piece of protein there ready to go. Add a little bit of salad or some steamed vegetables. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a great way to eat animal protein.
Absolutely. So there you go. There's a nice little recipe. Easy, quick, clean, and you can make more than two. You can make four or six, and then you can always just reheat it again if you like. Take it with you. It tastes delicious cold, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I went to visit some friends last night, so I took one of those breasts and a little bit of the watery solution, put it in a container, put it in my gym bag, and took it with me. And when I got to their place, I just threw it in the microwave for a few minutes and sort of steamed it. And I had my post-workout chicken breast, which, you know, you could do it anytime, whether you're on a diet or not. You just have to be prepared and think ahead when it comes to nutrition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the beauty about you being on this bodybuilding diet is it's so hot here. Well, I have to acclimatize to the heat. I'm funny that way. But it's so hot for me. I don't feel like eating. So this is really good right now. Perfect timing for me for you to be on this diet because I don't feel like eating. Because normally I like to eat a lot all day long. So this is really, if you look in our fridge right now, there's absolutely nothing in there. Except bodybuilding foods, which is good. It's all good. It's good to stay hungry, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It reminds me of a movie by the same title, Stay Hungry, one of Arnold's first movies.
Right.
With Jeff Bridges and Sally Fields. If anyone hasn't seen that, I recommend that they do see that.
So that's it.
Yeah, that was
good.
That's
my recipe.
Yeah, very simple, straightforward, and again, really no excuse for anyone to say, well, I haven't got time, or I don't know how, or...
Yes.
Or they just by default end up eating a bunch of crap. And the only reason they're doing that is because they put no energy or effort, because they don't think that it's important enough to put the energy into.
Well, a lot of people don't realize how easy cooking is. I mean, I used to watch my mother. My mother was a decent cook, and I've seen other people cook. I mean, you don't have to cook like a major hardcore chef or anything like that.
Oh, you don't want to cook like
a chef. Otherwise you end up to be fat.
Yes.
Because a lot of them are.
95% of them are fat.
Exactly. So we don't want to even go there. But, you know, once I learned how to cook, I'm going, this is really easy. It's just all about timing, and you just have to make sure you've got the ingredients and just be prepared. So start making your kitchen your best friend, right?
Right on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's you've always said that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, Daddy-O. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Frank Alvarez, CSNA.
All right.
Yeah, lots of other titles as well. Well, I like the fact that Frank took the bull by the horns, so to speak, and made his life happen. He just didn't sit around and wait for the phone to ring. Like, he got out there and he made it happen for himself. And he's got a lot of letters behind his name. He's in the military as a pilot. But one of the things that he says, which I find interesting, is that military does not have good food quality.
Well, I think you and I both knew that.
Which we knew that, but it's interesting to hear somebody in it.
Yes, exactly.
Who knows about food. Most people who are maybe in the military don't really know about food quality, but he understands it. And what he does is he takes his little food picnic basket with him wherever he goes. So he doesn't leave it to chance. So that's a really good role model.
Yeah, and I'm also reminded again, like the military is really good on physical training. A lot of the research data that we know today that proves and validates what most of us think we know about physical exercise and training. Like I was just speaking this morning to Deanna and mentioning to her that before you go into the fire department, before you go into the police department, or if you're conscripted, you know, during wartime, they train you. They physically train you. They know that physical training makes a superior human being that can cope with stress better. But their loss or their demerit points that they get right now is that they do not use the science of nutrition to the same degree.
Yes, exactly.
And this is very common, too, in university. The people that teach in physiology and kinesiology, that teach athletes about muscle function and movement and kinetics and training, it's all great. But when it comes to nutrition, they completely miss the boat.
Well, I mean, I've told you that about my dancing career as well.
Yes.
The quality of teaching and the standards was wonderful and fantastic to the highest level. But hello, people were
very strange how they don't get the two, why they don't see that the quality of the food you eat, that you're built out of, that your cells need for energy and fuel, for the repair, they don't get this. They somehow are misled or deceived into thinking that they can go to McDonald's or eat food out of a box or take a sterilized approach to diet. And yet, when it comes to the training, they would never accept the fact that, well, training doesn't matter. You don't need to train soldiers. It's irrelevant. I mean, nobody would agree with that. And yet, those same people accept the fact that you can feed them slop.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you very much, Frank Alvarez. You are a role model. And it's so fascinating that we have such great CSNA students that we've connected with them. It's really, we're really honored for that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So moving on to our CHI update, what is happening there?
Well, our CHI update, a few things. The Simple Strategies for Living Lean and Staying Well is my new book. And what I've done is I've incorporated tidbits from the CSNA program, some of my own little tidbits of life. Now, this is a really good little book. It's only a 50-page read. It would be for newbies. And if you wanted to maybe brush up on fat loss and getting motivated into a training program and diet, exercise, that type of thing. It's really good for if you have a friend or a family member who has lost maybe some self-worth in their life, maybe gone through a divorce or something like that, and they need a little bit of motivation and a pump because they've lost their way. This is a good little book for that, for newbies or for people who've lost their way and want to get onto the right track to live lean and staying well.
Yeah, well, I just read, or in fact, in this case, listened to an audiobook by Richard Dawkins, the Oxford biologist, and the book was called The Magic of Reality, and it's kind of geared towards kids. But in listening to that and the way he sort of lays out basics, this is stuff that myself and adults need to study and learn. We need to go back to the basics and review the basics. And the way that we get them usually is in the same way that teachers teach kindergarten kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Simple strategies for living lean and staying well. This is it, folks. This is what you do. No matter how complex your world is, take this information and apply it day by day, and this is how you do it.
Exactly. So what I've done is I've made it very simple, and it's also good for CSNA students to read this book. What it does is it's like a refresher course and little blurbs that you would say to your clients as well, because sometimes we forget, right? So it's little blurbs that I would say that you can repeat back to your students and little antidotes, that type of thing. So, you know, have a good read. It's a good little read, and it's my work that I've been doing, and I live by it myself. Right.
That's right. And to get to that book, just go to our site, and on the front homepage, you'll see little buttons. It says e-books. Click that, and you'll find the link to that book and other books as well, and you can get to, I think the price is $9.95, and it's a PDF. So this is a document that you can print off as an e-book. You can also read PDFs on iPads or on your computer screen.
Okay, next is my Bollywood routine, which is quite fun because, you know, Bollywood, I get right deep into the Bollywood YouTubes, right? Because you just like any YouTube, you've got to get into it and then go really deep into getting into the different YouTubes. And, you know, like I've always said, I've got so much more respect for the Bollywood because some of the dancers are quite good. So my Bollywood routine that I'm doing for the Dancing with the Vernon Stars, I've got like 10 women in this group, and boy, I'm really working them hard. I'm doing a little bit of choreography. I haven't put anything together yet, but I'm giving them pieces. So this one piece that I'm doing is where they have to do a twist turn and go onto the floor and spin around on their butt and then come back up again. Well, I heard lots of moans and groans. Now, these women in this group are from, let's say, 19 to 65 years old that are dancing this. And they're not like dancers by no means, but I would never give them something I didn't think they could do. Dancing with the Stars isn't until October, so this is May, so I'm starting them early. I said, I'm starting with the hardest things first, so by the time we have to perform, you're going to have it down. And I wouldn't ask you to do anything unless I thought you could do it, right? So the moans and groans, but they all love it because they really feel like they're dancing. You know, especially when you go on the floor and you spin on your butt, it looks pretty cool when they're all doing it, minus the moans and groans. So I'm pretty excited about that because it's an outlet for my creative juices as well.
Right on.
Yeah. And little Riley, 9 months old, is almost walking now. She knows how to stand up and she's got the little wibble jibbles. And it's just so interesting to see the growth from laying there, rolling over onto one side, and then rolling over on the other side, and then sitting up, and then commencing to drag themselves, and then the actual crawl, and the speed of the crawl, and then sitting up into a stance. So it's pretty cool to see how Mother Nature works, you know, as a human being.
It's a paradigm of progress.
Yeah.
You can see every day they make progress. And then you wonder what happens to people at the age of 40 and 50.
Well, it goes backward then. You go back down.
Yeah, but we shouldn't. We should be continuously making progress as a human being because our potential is much greater. They say we can learn more quickly. We can learn languages and do all kinds of things when we're little. But once we get our mind, you know, sort of sorted out, maybe that's why people don't. But once we find out who and what we are, theoretically, we should be making progress in the same way that a child makes progress moving forward.
Well, one of the things that I do with Riley when I mind her, is, which is quite a few times during the week, is that it's repetition. Repetition, repetition, repetition. You just don't say it once. And every time I see her, it's like we do 1, 2, buckle my shoe, or we clap our hands. And I have these 5 little things that I do with her, and it's the same thing all the time. And I make sure that I enunciate all my words, and she's really looking at me, and she's very studious. So it is repetition, over and over.
Repetition is the mother of skill?
Yes, exactly. So we repeat. That's willing to have order to repeat the knowledge. And I'm willing, and it's an order that I do it in. So that's the work that goes into it. But
well, and also how you disseminate or distribute or dispense the information.
Yeah.
This is where the smiling, the affection, the treatment of the child affects them, right? You know, in a lot of homes, there's not a lot of affection or there's absence or different degrees of treatment that's going on in the home. So that it's not just what you say, it's how you say it.
Well, I think what it is, it's a matter of respect. You have to respect for the child. They've given me no reason not to respect them. They're a human being. So
yes.
You want to respect them, right? And so that's what I do. I respect them until they give me reason not to. Maybe when they get to be teenagers, that's a different story. That's a whole different SNU. So it's just respecting this little person.
Absolutely.
Okay, moving on. Just one more thing I want to talk about is your bodybuilding workout and diet. So really quickly, can you just tell everybody what you're doing really quickly, Corey, Reader's Digest version?
Yeah, today's May 8th. The competition is June 8th, so 32 days from now I compete. And so right now I'm training twice a day. It's called a double split. And I do a morning workout and an afternoon workout. And then at nighttime around 10 o'clock, I do 20 sets of stairs. It's all about burning the fat down, getting those lines to come through, Bodybuilding is about muscle symmetry. That's number one, how you look when you look at the person, you know, and judges look at you. The symmetry, which is a meso trait, that beautiful symmetry that we all like when we look at a human body, calves, neck, upper arms, back, lats, the whole thing. And, of course, the diet gets stricter and tighter. I've got some carrot juice in the morning. My morning protein shake has some papaya and berries, a little bit of banana in it. But that's it for carbs for the rest of the day. It's only whey isolate and chicken breasts. So that's pretty tough when you're pushing forward and grinding out and you feel the body on fire and it's oxidizing fat. So everything is on track. Very excited. Looking forward to a wonderful experience in Hawaii.
Well, I'd say you're looking pretty good.
Yeah, that lower third ab is what it's all about for me. I look in the mirror, and I'm doing my posing also, in addition to the training. And it's all about having a goal in your mind, and that sort of gives you the momentum, the incentive, the desire to do the work. And if you had no goal, if I didn't have the goal in my mind, and if I didn't make the commitment, there'd be no incentive to do all this crazy stuff.
Well, you know, I got to admit, doing for you your bodybuilding routine, you're the worst student I've ever had. You argue with me left, right, and center. And every time you perform your routine, when you've competed, you always get a standing ovation, best routine, but you still, to this day, you argue with me.
Well, that's,
why do you do that?
Because secretly I hate you. You know, that's why I married you. You know, a man marries a wife that he both
whatever.
You know, because we hate it when we're told what to do as men. We don't want to be told what to do. We want to do everything our own way all the time. You see, we're like...
So do women.
What?
So do
women. No, I think women are more susceptible to taking advice and having things pointed out about their hair or their style, and they ask, what do you think of... Like, most men don't ask their wife, how do I look? Women, on the other hand, will say to their husband, how do I look? Right?
Yeah, don't answer that question.
Yes. Oh, you look great.
It's like,
you look great, baby.
It's like, do these jeans make me look fat? And the answer was, it's not the jeans, honey.
Yeah.
Don't ever ask.
In bodybuilding, it's about evidence in the mirror. It's what you look like. It's not how far you throw the hammer or the javelin. That's not what bodybuilding's about. It's what you look like on stage. So, and I'm an endo. It's challenging for me to get lean, really, really, really lean, super lean, under 5%.
Okay, Reader's Digest.
Yeah, so underneath that you see the two sets of abs, and that third set, when I get that coming out and there's like a nice line of separation, that is when I start to really feel good about my physique, because the character of leanness, the muscle separation, the muscle quality, the symmetry, it all starts to tie in. And then, of course, posing is about moving your body with elegance to music.
Remember that.
You're helping me with.
Remember that.
Yes. And you got 90 seconds to do your posing routine, and that's really what it's all about on that
day. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So the next time we speak to people, it'll be from Hawaii, because that's where our next SNU is.
Woohoo!
Yeah, and we will be where everyone should be, and that is the land of aloha, paradise. Okay, my dear, what is your final word?
My final word is by Anthony J. D'Angelo. Wherever you go, no matter what the weather, always bring your own sunshine.